You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching or listening Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD. This week we have Nicole Hale and Chris McFeely. Chris Triplett is once again not with us.
But I think he's a spy.
You think so?
He mysteriously disappears, and then he comes on the show and has his, like, second life as this good little innocent guy that does nothing but read comic books, you know?
But every once in a while, like, every few weeks, he has to take a trip back to the motherland and, like, you know, regale
report to his Russian masters.
Yes, report to his Russian masters the secrets of capitalism that are being... The evil lies about communism that are being told in comic books.
No, they just they just want to know what's going on in Batman this week. Don't get it over there.
They're like, so? In Soviet Russia, man bats you.
That will trigger him to do something. We need to find out his secret word.
Right. Nonetheless, he will then be played by Bane Kitty. So, yeah. I think I saw that first. It's everywhere, of course. So I think the first place I saw it was on Stu's
Twitter.
Yeah.
Bane Kitty's so cute.
Bane Kitty. So, all kinds of stuff going on. Transformers wise, I know there's a bunch of people or new stuff coming from TFCon, so that's exciting. But we won't talk about that here because we don't talk about that here. Next week, is that AA? Is next week?
It starts
Friday.
This Friday. Yeah.
So you're going to be gone next week.
Yeah, I actually am. I didn't even think about that. And no me next week.
No.
Someone else is going to have to figure out the new...
God, I might have to do some work.
Shit, bro!
I know. I usually just show up. Wow. I have to actually do something. That's not fair. Anyway. So... Slow week, kids, and not everything news and comic wise. Somehow we might actually stretch this out to an hour and a half. I'm going to go ahead and start my timer because I haven't. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to get Chris McFeely. Go ahead and tell us then what is whatever news there is.
The only news that there is about things not happening. Yeah, that's the kind of day we're having.
If you can,
it's a no news day. Woo!
Yeah, it's a none. No.
For instance, the most exciting thing out of Marvel this week was the news that the upcoming Thanos Son of Titan miniseries, which was supposed to start in October, is now not happening.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was to have been written by. Hang on, I don't remember the guy's name.
Seem to recall that had. Good stuff.
Not happening or is it just being delayed?
It's just canceled, like, right now. I would like to imagine delayed because maybe they just realized that maybe throwing all this Thanos stuff out now is jumping the gun a bit.
Yeah.
And maybe they should just wait till he's actually in a film and people are actually really clamoring because they've got this and they have two reprint miniseries, not miniseries, but two reprint one-shots coming up, collecting the Thanos Quest and the original Thanos gem storyline. And it's like, you're going Thanos mad at the minute. But if there was any reason you remember anyone on this show being excited about it was probably the fact that it was supposed to have art by Richard Elson, who has done a lot of Journey into Mystery issues.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to say, I knew there was some reason that we were excited for it.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, thank you for the little warning.
Oh,
that wasn't what I did want to read at work. That's for sure. Just like,
oh, damn. Oh, wow. JD, did you read last week's Journey? Oh.
I dropped Journey.
Sick freak. Sick mutant.
That is a sin. That is a carnal sin you just committed.
Kieran Gillen's Journey is about to end in October.
I know. I wasn't keeping up, and something had to go. And
single most consistently good comic book Marvel puts out.
And it was so good this last week.
Sorry.
Oh, heartbreaking.
I'm gonna die.
I could have just said no. All right. I could have just said no. I hadn't read it yet.
Yeah, you didn't. Yeah. And you would have lied.
But at least you admitted to the sin. You admitted to the sin. Now you just got to go repent for it.
Right. Now I have to go buy
by
all
putting
those
it back
comics.
On your list.
Right.
For the next
I have to go put
months.
It back on my list for a month.
Well, okay. Anyway, Steve Wacker was editing that, or at least Steve Wacker has commented that plans changed on it. Nothing too dramatic. They just jumped the gun a bit, and the writer and artist have projects coming up in the Spidey office. So,
Do you think that they were? That it's a deal where it's like they thought after the Avengers movie, people would be like, oh my gosh, that's Thanos. I want to read about Thanos now.
Well, that is what happened. Infinity Gauntlet and Rebirth of Thanos flew up the reorder charts from retailers.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Well, I guess maybe in the comic community, because I'm wondering if they were thinking like outside, but you know, I don't know.
I mean, the silly thing about Thanos is that if you want to read about Thanos, you have to start with the story of his return.
See,
from
I got
Silver
it right here.
Surfer in the
80s. There. I got it right here.
Right.
And right here. Yeah, I bought those old ones. I was like, okay, I got to get these before everyone else does. Yeah.
If you actually want to read his first story arc, you can't. It's collected in Captain Marvel, Essential Captain Marvel, I think would be the only place you could read it, and I'm pretty sure that's out of print.
Wow.
And then the story that followed, first he appeared in Iron Man, then he was in Captain Marvel, then it culminated in Avengers Annual, and that is the and then he came back, and it's the second story, which is the first gem story, which is the one that is being collected in is being reprinted in this one shot that's coming up later this year. And Thanos dies at the end of that storyline, and he was off the grid for like over a dozen years.
Spoiler.
That was it for Thanos. And then he comes for a 30-year-old, 40-year-old story. But then he comes back in Rebirth of Thanos in the late 80s, and then that in turn leads into Thanos Quest, which has also been out of print for forever, which is the direct prologue to the Infinity Gauntlet, which is in print. So it's a bit.
If you can find it now, because it's like you said, flying off the shelves.
Oh yeah, flew up the charts. So it'd be good to have some more Thanos stuff out there, but this very much did seem like jumping the gun a bit as far as getting some Thanos stuff out there. But that's that. And then the other thing that was announced this week is that Grant Morrison will be leaving Action Comics with issue 16.
What?
I know.
I posted this. I saw it. I think the first place. I think I saw it on Bleeding Cool or something, and reposted on our feed. But wow. I mean, you know, all indications were that, you know, this was going to be Morrison long haul on, you know, Superman, starting another kind of long arc like he did on Batman. And
Nope. He said when he started out that he was going to do at least 16 issues. So he does at least, it's not like I think this is going to drop off in the middle of a story or anything. You know, he's got an end game in readiness. Although it doesn't seem like we're close to it or anything, you know, because we have another 6 issues. And,
that's a lot of ground to cover to get there.
And he's also confirmed that he's going to be leaving Batman Incorporated with issue 12, but I don't think that one should surprise anybody.
I think that's
company, or is he retiring? Or
he's
got, is that like...
He said he's moving away from monthly owned company superheroes for the time.
So he's going to Image, I think.
He's got a new miniseries from Image coming up called Happy in a few months' time, and I have already ordered the first issue of that, so I will talk about it on the show when it comes out. But the Batman Inc. one shouldn't surprise anybody, because he always said that that was a year, that was 12 issues, and then that was his Batman over. I don't think it would also surprise anybody that DC would try to keep it going as an ongoing after Morrison leaves, but this will be the end of Morrison's 6-year Batman storyline with Batman Inc. And I really was hoping that Action Comics was going to be something like that again, and I looked at it when the word came out that he was getting on to Superman and Action Comics. I said, if he's going to do another Batman, I'm getting in on the start this time. I'm getting on the ground floor of this.
Yeah.
And I did, but sadly, here we are. And yes, you know, frankly, I don't even have to wait for the next writer to be announced. They could be they could be anybody at all, and I think Action Comics is coming off the pull list.
Yeah, I mean, with as much struggling as they've had with Superman, I mean, I can't imagine. The only thing, the only thing that would make me keep it at least for a little bit is if it was Jurgens. Because Jurgens doesn't have a book now.
Isn't he on Superman?
No. He may be doing the art, but he doesn't have a... He's not writing anything.
He's just drawing it, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't even do it for me. I don't think...
It'd do it for me. It'd do it for me, because I like Jurgens. But yeah, I totally agree.
I'd be interested to see if they plan to keep it in the early days, or if they want to just bring it up and make it contemporaries.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't... Nah, they'll probably bring it back up, you know.
Hard to say.
Yeah. I don't know. I was really shocked and I'll say saddened because I was really excited. I mean, like I said, this is the first time I've actually read Superman month to month and actually enjoyed it. So.
That's why you need to get the Superman Family Adventures.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll trade out.
There you go.
Do that.
It's worth it.
I've heard. I mean, I think I picked up the first issue and I think I skimmed it, but no, it looked good. So that's a possibility. It's not quite what I'm, doesn't quite sate my appetite. You know, it's not quite what I'm looking for, you know.
You're not looking for super pets? Come on.
No. Anyway. So yeah, but yeah, the 12 is supposed to be the natural ending for Batman Inc. anyway. So
yeah,
that's of no surprise. And not even like, I don't even know if that's newsworthy. That's not even the newsworthy bit of it. It's really the leaving action part. So
yeah, that's not no surprise. But that's the height of the news. That's about it.
That's it. Wow.
I think we're going to be on a low for a couple more weeks since everyone blew their load on San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah. That's an image. Anyway, that was me. See, that was me making a bad joke. I'll take that. Anyway.
Oh.
So, all right then. Well, I guess let's talk about some comics since that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do.
That's what we do.
On this show.
What's the show? Fanboy Versus.
Fanboy Versus. All right. Nicole?
That's the name of the show.
That is
the name of the show.
Right.
And of course, it's the end of the month. And guess what I'm going to talk about? Imagine this. It's the micro series Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it's the spotlight on Casey Jones. Now, this is a great, because if you think about it, Casey Jones is kind of like your everyday person trying to become a superhero, and he has a backstory that's very tragic, almost, I won't compare it, say it's similar to Spider-Man, but it has that same feeling. He's got some family issues. He made a promise to his dying mother, and that's the reason why he allows his father to abuse him so much, and it's just very sad. It's a very tragic story, but you get to know the inside of Casey Jones. You get to see who he is, what his goal is, what he wants to do. And you also see the backstory of his father, how his father is not the greatest guy in the world. He's involved in some mob dealings. They come to the house a lot, you know, and they know about Casey, but Casey also knows about them. So he tries to make things better, you know, by hiding behind the mask. And it's a very good story. I did get a little emotional reading this because it's so in depth, and I recommend this whole series. Even if you don't like the Ninja Turtles, this is just a story about him and his little origins into becoming a new superhero. So if you guys don't like the Turtles, it's fine, but here's a good story. It's just about an everyday person becoming what he wants to do better for the world and his little story. So I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Awesome.
Cool.
As someone who grew up on the 80s Turtles cartoon, but who has gone on to almost completely reject it in favor of like other depictions of the Turtles, seriously, have trouble watching the old show at this stage. Mm-hmm. I still never warmed to Casey Jones that much. He did always.
This one is a very easy one. You get more into him, more because he's more relatable. Because I know, like, a lot of people have sometimes people have a hard time with him in the movie. He's kind of like that hard, tough exterior. This one, he has this hard exterior when he's fighting, but you get to see he's just a kid. He's just a regular 20-year-old guy trying to make it through life. So, very relatable.
I know that he is an original character from the Eastman and Laird comics, and he's been there from the very start. But it's kind of odd. It's like he's the one element that didn't transition over from the the early comics, the one regular recurring element, into the cartoon. You know, you had Four Turtles, you had Splinter, you had April, you had Baxter, but Casey didn't make the jump, and he only appeared like infrequently as this vigilante whose maniacal tendencies were played for comedy. And yet, even though I know that, he always still feels like the outsider to me in these types of stories. It's like because he's in everything else. He's in the 2003 cartoon. He was in the new CGI movie. I'm sure he'll be in the new series as well. And I'm like, and yet, for whatever reason, even though I know in my head and have almost completely divested like what I think about the Turtles from the 80s cartoon. Mm-hmm. Casey's like, you don't belong. Get out, Casey. I don't like you. Get out. You don't belong. But
the thing is, in this series, in the regular Ninja Turtle series, he has more of a part than April right now. And I think that goes to show because they actually put out his mini series, his micro series, before April.
Because this is number six, right? This, and then April is number seven. Yeah.
Yep. So, and I, like I said, I relate more to him than April right now. And it's really good. Where, like you said, you didn't really relate to him. I agree with you. In the 90s show, I even forgot he was in it until I went back and watched it. So, I'm really liking Casey. He's a good player. And, I can't wait to see what goes on with him. So, him and Raph are really good buddies. So they're always playing off of each other, and they have the best little comebacks, little wits. It's almost kind of like Spider-Man and Johnny Storm. That, you know, that kind of little quibble, brotherly sprawls. I love it. So, highly recommend.
That's good. Yep. I don't think I'll read it, but I would actually really like to read the IDW. Turtle stuff, but I'm not paying $20 for 4-issue trades.
No. I actually encourage people to read the micro series over the ongoing series, even though I love the ongoing. The micro series, you just get more. And like I said, Splinter, to me, is still the best single issue I've read this year. Best single issue so far. So...
No, I have leafed them, and I always think, and the response seems to generally be positive, and it's being, as a series, it's definitely clearly been brave enough to just throw out pretty much everything about the established Turtle history in favor of doing a genuine, like, to take Marvel parlance, like an Ultimate Turtles kind of thing, which is, it's fairly impressive, because I don't imagine that even the new cartoon will be that brave.
That's what I'm kind of excited for, because that comes out in September. It's not too far off. So I'm wondering if they're going to be doing this new origin story, if they're going to go back to the old origins. So I would love to see this series on screen or even on TV. Oh, it's going to be so good.
I mean, Turtles is a little weird like that, because you had the original comics, and then you had the cartoon, which was basically nothing like the comics and owed very little to them except the basic characters. And then the first film, basically just adapted the comic with some changes. And then the 2003 cartoon, again, basically just adapted the comic with a lot of extra stories worked in there. But it's like the root origins and the root, like the basic story that guided at least, you know, the first season of the cartoon and the early part of the second season and the first movie are all still just lifted pretty much wholesale from the film. So now here we are a couple of years later, and we have a new Turtles cartoon series and a new Turtles comic, and for really the first time since the 80s cartoon, they have to sit up and go, shit, we're going to have to tell a different story this time. And we've basically gone 25 years and at their roots, I know, really, at their roots, we've really only had two versions of the Turtle origin story, which is the 80s cartoon and the Mirage comics, which informed the modern cartoon and the live-action films, you know? it's I'll be interested to see what the new cartoon does and if it takes any cues from IDW. Mm.
Like I said, I love this series. I have yet to be disappointed. So
sweet.
I always get excited at the last week of the month because it's just like, oh, it's turtle time.
Nice.
And the thing is, this one came out a week late, so I actually got two turtle comics this week, so I was doubly happy.
Sweet.
I see they've announced the 8th micro series issue is the Fugitoid as well.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't going to be Shredder. I really was like, I wonder if they're going to do something with Shredder. But Shredder's story is actually told very, very well in Splinter's story, so.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right. Okay. So in my non-recommending recommendation.
Aha.
Not recommending.
Aha.
I'm not recommending that you buy the Before Watchmen Comedian. Why, you ask? I know you all asked.
Why, JD?
Well, this is easily the weakest, I think, so far of the Before Watchmen books. I've spent the last couple hours like trying to deconstruct why. And the only thing I can really come up with is that while Azzarello has certainly made the story his own in a way, and tried to work within, I mean, easily a very small framework. I mean, we've already talked about how, a lot of what you need to know about Comedian is in the book. So, you know, filling in the blank spaces for Comedian is a little difficult because, you know, you get a lot of that story. But maybe it's for that reason that trying to fill in very small blank spaces doesn't seem to fit in with the overall story. An early part of this is, we're before registration, but this is that in-between period so we're 68. I mean, it's easy to label down the time, because of the election. This is right before Bobby runs for president. So this early part of this issue is Comedian and him basically having a conversation while Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier are in their first match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's going on in the foreground, and they've got front row seats. Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of like, this is the best place for these two characters, and they're right there. And okay, sure.
Don't you know how many evil corporate political deals go down in boxing arena audiences? Like, if film and television has taught me nothing.
Well, and it's not even that. I mean, it's just like these characters are literally just hanging out being buds. It's not like they're doing any kind of deals.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like,
two men would go to boxing then?
I guess, and that's what I'm saying. But it's
a famous fight.
This is just Bobby and the Comedian being buds, hanging out and chit chatting about work while they're watching the fight. You know, and Bobby's talking about ending the war on crime, and then he's going to run for office in a few months. And Comedian's talking about how he's been asked to go to Vietnam and help out there. And then they imply that the Muhammad Ali Joe Frazier fight was rigged.
Controversy.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, really, was that necessary? Okay. So the Comedian shows up to Vietnam, and the rest of this issue is every cliche Vietnam movie you've ever seen shoved into this story, and the Comedian walking around talking to people.
Okay.
Like, it's just a bunch of soldiers talking about how they don't have enough, and these, you know, the VC are different, and fighting a different war. It's just like all kinds of cliche Vietnam stuff. But of course, the Comedian is the Comedian, and he goes in, and like the first night, he gets tired of just sitting around the barracks, and they go out on a walk and kill a bunch of VC. He even strolls up on a guy whose arm is blown off. And stabs him in the throat. So, you know.
Do they show him meeting that woman?
Not yet.
Has he so he hasn't left Vietnam at the end of the issue then?
No.
Okay, they are totally going to do that by the end of this then.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, the other part of this is he meets up with a criminal that I guess he was familiar with back in the States.
Is it Moloch?
No, it's not Moloch, thankfully.
Well, that makes a difference.
God, thankfully. No, it's some drug dealer. And then they go into this deal about how they're in cahoots with the drug dealers to ship drugs back to the States and then make money off them and then use it to buy supplies to supply the war.
Because big business is evil or something.
Something, I don't know. But that's basically the implication, that the soldiers are selling drugs back in the States to pay for the equipment that they need to fight the war in Vietnam.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's like, I don't even know if that's a legitimate, like, even thing. I don't know. And the end of it, like, comedian draws like a happy face thing on his helmet.
Legitimate thing.
It's just, it's so odd. It's just like, there's no, I don't understand what he's trying to say. You know, and again, I know that we know a lot about the comedian, so it's hard to fill in those blanks. But even this seems like a much more personable and approachable than the sort of nihilist idea of comedian that we get out of Watchmen. You know, this seems like a guy that, you know, the idea for Watchmen out, you know, for the idea of comedian like out of Watchmen is this, you know, truly a guy that's in it for himself, you know, and you know, the best thing I can do is take care of myself. There are no morals. There is no morality. There is only what I do. And what I do is beat people up and kill people and, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's what worked for that, you know, for the character within the confines of the story. Now trying to make this character more of a person, and it just doesn't flow. It's like, I don't see this being the guy that, you know, cuts a woman in the face, you know, that gets cut in the face and then shoots a pregnant woman. It's like, I don't see this character doing that, because this character, even though he's kind of his methods, you can question his methods, his motives are not. I mean, his motives seem to be above board. So over these last two issues, you know, like you're mentioning, like, has he met the woman yet? But it's like, I don't know how they could reference that in here, because that's a huge character jump. You know, this does not seem like a guy that doesn't give a shit.
Well, you know, JD, Nam did change a guy.
Oh, fuck. And that's what I'm hoping, like, doesn't happen
smelling
either.
Smelling that in the air.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And that's, it's like, I mean, but comedian even comes in at one point and talks about how he's going to like it, you know, and how, like, after he kills that guy is, like, you know, how he's going to like it there and stuff. But it's just, I don't know. It's just not... it's not flowing together. If you have read this and you like it, let me know why, because I cannot figure out for the life of me, you know, why it's good. And I've loved Azzarello's stuff. Like, I loved his stuff. The stuff from Flashpoint was great. You know, it's just, I don't know if it's the character, the setting, or what. It's just not, it's not coming together. I don't know. You read it, Chris Bafili. You tell me what you think.
I can't. I'm sold out of it.
When you get it. Aren't you getting it? You'll get it, won't you?
Buying it.
Now, like, I'm not buying it anymore. Screw it.
I ain't buying it. I didn't buy it the first time.
Yeah, well, you're smarter than me. So, anyway, like I said, comedian, if you're looking for something on the Before Watchmen to skip, feel free to skip this.
But you highly enjoy Silk Spectre, but you do not care for comedians.
Silk Spectre, Minutemen, Ozymandias. I loved Ozymandias. I mean, it was great. You know, I take it or leave it with Night Owl, you know, and we'll see what JMS does with Dr. Manhattan as well, and Rorschach is coming up too, right? Who's doing Rorschach?
Yeah. That's Azzarello.
That's another Azzarello. So I feel a little bit better about Azzarello doing Rorschach for some reason. I don't know that I should necessarily, but But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So, when is first Rorschach coming out?
I was going to say it's...
That's the end of August. Okay. August and Rorschach
has that been delayed? Right.
No, no, this is just a plan for it.
Just
they're sort of moving in waves, you know. We get the first four in the first month, and then we complete the cycle. We went Minutemen, Silk Spectre, Night Comedian, Night Owl, and then Ozymandias got added to the end of that at the start of the next month. And then I go Minutemen, Silk Spectre, Comedian, Night Owl, Ozymandias, and then Rorschach and Dr. Mm-hmm. Manhattan get added to the end of that rotation. And then they're going to rotate in that order, which does mean, like, you know, there are 7 weeks between issues. So it's going to be the front runners, Minutemen and Silk Spectre, are going to get a lot more spaced out as we move into September. Because there'll only be one every 7 weeks.
Interesting. So is this supposed to be going throughout the whole full year? Is this supposed to be like a whole year thing?
It's not quite long enough to last the year, but it's going to be most of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. So far, meh. The good stuff is really good. The stuff that's not is, I don't know, not making it with me. But I'm going to buy it all because I'm the boo. So.
Because it's your duty as a journalist, right?
Yes, it is my duty.
Duty.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
I've got no one thing in particular this week, honestly, guys. Nothing jumped out at me too severely. I'm just going to go through the stack here and shout a few words of encouragement at a few things. Avengers this week is a surprising little number. Bendis, as usual, art by Walter Simonson, so it always looks pretty. It's actually a Red Hulk solo story, and it's easily the least awful thing I've ever read with Red Hulk.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's about how Red Hulk, being a military man, decides to go with a... You know, he looks at the situation and realizes that he's going to have to play his part in this by doing the things that a soldier can, that Captain America, the goody two-shoes, won't. And he turns back into General Ross and tries to headshot Cyclops on Utopia. Tries to go in there, do a little bit of wet works.
Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't go so well, and he gets beat up by the X-Men. They send him back with a giant X blasted through his chest. But he gets better because he's a Hulk. But it's a pretty good issue, you know? I mean, I haven't read Jeff Parker's Red Hulk, and I'm sure that's pretty good because Jeff Parker is good, and he's good. I'm sure he'll be making the Red Hulk is not a good character. You know, much as Marvel would like us to believe that he is not. And I'm pretty sure that... we had the news last week that Red Hulk, which is to say Hulk, the series actually simply titled Hulk, while the Green Hulk has Incredible Hulk and Red Hulk has Hulk, is going to be taken over by Red She-Hulk very soon. I'm pretty sure we could expect a Red Hulk number one off the back of that.
Mm, yeah.
Which is eye-rolling in its existence, but it seems almost certain. But still, this is a pretty good, this is a surprisingly good little issue, which is a nice look at what makes, you know, Red Hulk different from the other Hulk, which is something Bendis has had some real issues actually grabbing a hold of. Because in the whole of the Red Hulk's role in this comic, and indeed in most comics where he guest stars, he might as well be green, because he's a surly, big muscle guy who hits things and doesn't really get on with everybody else, but comes through when the job needs to be done. So this one is actually about exploring what makes him different, and it's actually pretty good. I'm surprised. Let's see, what else did I have going on this week? Superman Family Adventures number 3 was out this week, continuing to be not quite as good as Tiny Titans, but still being brimming with the usual innocent entertainment. And more examples of how, just continuing the theme, I should say, of how... Where Tiny Titans was a series of vignettes, this series is about basically telling a complete story all the way through. Although this one is kind of split into, like, Jimmy Olsen really wants to prove to his friends that he knows Superman, but tries to call him on his signal watch, but it turns out that Superman accidentally gave him the wrong watch, and he keeps summoning the Super Pets instead by accident. And then, meanwhile, Clark is trying to just throw Lois off the scent in your typical Superman storyline. Like, you know, they go to get cotton candies, and Lois asks him, would you like pink or blue, Clark? And Clark replies, I like pink very much, Lois. And Lois just gives him the hairy eyeball. That's what Superman says. It's like, no kid's going to get that, but I don't care. It's like that. That's one of those weirder jokes. Like that was in an issue of Tiny Titans as well, where it was the punchline of it. And I looked at it and I think that's one of those rare jokes in Tiny Titans where it doesn't actually operate on two levels, and no kid is actually going to get that, even though the writers seem to think that they will know what that means. You know. But then conversely, you know, you have Crypto talking about the time when he was being super trained, and we find out that the reason that Superman had to switch over to a costume without shorts is because Crypto clawed them whenever he was, or rather, laser visioned them whenever he was being trained in the years of his power.
I literally laughed out loud when I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny.
And Streaky just says, now you know why he needed a new suit.
I liked it because he's getting x-rayed and he's covering himself up decently.
Manhattan Project 5 was also out this week and cemented my belief that we were looking, after an opening three issues to introduce the cast of characters, that we were establishing more of an ongoing storyline now, where last issue began with Oppenheimer and General Groves out meeting with alien representatives. Because it turns out aliens come to Earth every once in a while. Turns out that basically the aliens they were expecting didn't arrive, and some other ones came instead, and it turns out that these aliens conquered and enslaved the race that Earth was used to having contact with and had designs on doing the same on Earth as well. But Oppenheimer figured them out, killed them all, and ate their brains to incorporate their knowledge.
Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. that's what he does. If Oppenheimer eats a brain, he incorporates its knowledge. So now, among the sea of infinite Oppenheimers that we see inside of his brain, there's an alien Oppenheimer stood there as well, commenting and adding all his knowledge. And they use Einstein's bridge, the monolith space-time bridge, to send representatives to the alien conqueror's homeworld, and They make genocide their first act, but unfortunately it does mean that the evil Oppenheimer does now have access to parallel realities, and lo, he has become death, destroyers of worlds.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
And I couldn't let this week go without mentioning the new number one I picked up as well, which is Axe Cop, President of the World, which is the first issue of a new three-issue series. We all know Axe Cop, and if you don't, it's a webcomic written by an 8-year-old and drawn by his 30-year-old brother about a policeman with an axe.
Axe Cop is awesome.
Yep, and he's an axe cop. And every story is basically put together by the older brother from the ideas that the younger brother has. It is a world, like Tiny Titans or Superman Adventure, it is a world of sheer joy and innocence, but action-packed in the most violent way sometimes, all hung together just enough with the thread of a child's logic. Like, in this story, following after he saved the world in the last miniseries, Bad Guy Earth, Axe Cop has now become president of Earth, and has established a new capital city of Earth, Axeville. And he doesn't live in a white house. He lives in a gold house because it's better, because it's bigger and made out of gold.
Do they still have the dinosaur in it? I haven't read it for a while.
The dinosaur is not playing a role in this issue, but he is there. They do still have the dinosaur.
Okay, cool. Because he was fun.
At a press conference, someone asks, because Earth has been free of bad guys since the events of Bad Guy Earth. So Axe Cop, a reporter asks Axe Cop, will they ever come back? And Axe Cop's response, I can't say Axe Cop and ask at the same time. Axe Cop's response, he's going to ask God for the answer to that and get back to you. And he prays to God, and God answers. And this is just the sort of... Because obviously that's what the ruler of the world would be able to do, isn't it? Yeah, that's a child's logic. Yeah, that'll do nicely. 1 million years of peace, says God. After that, bad guys will attack from space. So God puts a force field around the Earth to protect it for 1 million years. And then Axe Cop uses a time portal.
That's so cute!
But X-Cop then uses a time portal gun to send all the superheroes 1 million years forward in time so that they will be fresh to fight the evil that comes instead of 1 million years of peace. And while the other heroes are away, like, he gets a new sidekick called Goo Cop, who is just a man made of goo who was accidentally transformed into goo when some aliens captured him.
Oh, cool!
they tried to turn him into an alien, but the machine went wrong, and he actually turned into goo instead, and he can shoot his goo in your brain, and his goo takes control of your brain, and then do what he says. And then they get a sidekick, and his name is Junior Cobb, and he's a super smart talking gorilla from the planet of gorillas, and he has got robot gun fists, and he can shoot his tail, a jet in his tail, and he can shoot anything out of the jet in his tail. And so on. And so forth.
Oh, I should have picked this up.
Actually, it's always worth checking out. Like,
it's always good. Really, it's always good.
You don't have to know anything about it in order to pick it up and just understand it. It's the simplicity of the concept is that even though, like, you scarcely turn a page without some insane new idea. Insane is the wrong word, you know, because that implies some, I say, like, insane genius, you know, that implies somebody like a Grant Morrison or something like that. Some fantastical new idea, perhaps, is the better word for it being flung at. Because it's like, the aliens also capture Goo Cop's family, and Axe Cop agrees to help him get his family, but they just sort of never get around to it. And Goo Cop is like, can we go save my family now? No, not right now. I have to pray.
Wow.
And then, you know, this talking gorilla arrives, and it says, yeah, my family, because the talking gorilla world, Planet Weird Gorilla is the name of this home planet. And it's been taken over by evil robot penguins. And it's like, and his ex-cop's like, there's no time to waste. And Goo-Cop's like, what about my family? Later, Goo-Cop. that's the long and the short of Axe-Cop. Lots of fun. You can't say a bad word about it. I never followed the webcomic very regularly. It didn't flow so well, I think, whenever you got a page every once in a while, when it was meted out like that. But whenever you get it handed to you in a nice chunk, it's like, I really, really should get the trade paperback collections Dark Horse has put out of the webcomic, because I know I would really eat it up in that format. The webcomic format does it a disservice, I think. Plus, this is still the same. That's another a very good point as well. Is it is great artwork, and they have some fun stuff
in there.
I know. This is full color compared to the black and white webcomic is in, but it is also, it's not just like serviceable art or anything, buoyed by the insanity of the story or anything. It is legitimately really good and very attractive, brightly colorful, inventive artwork as well. The last thing is a giant cheetah riding a motorcycle with dinosaur hands, for goodness sakes. Sorry, a robot motorcycle. It's got eyes.
Nice.
What?
Yeah.
Why did I pick this up? I usually pick up X-Cop, but I must have missed it. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's your little smorgasbord of short.
Okay. Wow.
Axe Cop. I love Axe Cop.
I didn't.
I did a review on it when I first came on the show a couple years ago. So.
Not my thing.
But you just went wow repeatedly.
Uh-huh. No, not good wow.
Oh, Axe Cop is awesome.
It's just not. It's not my thing. I don't even like kids, so.
You have no appreciation of the joy that can be found in a human heart, do you?
Not in a child's heart, no.
No, you have the child of a heart pickled under death.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's right here. No.
Oh, wow. Wow.
What is that? Anyway, okay. All right, okay. Then. Well, I don't know if we'll have enough time to cover Amazing Spider-Man. Let's talk about where we've been, shall we?
Sure.
So,
okay.
Well, should we say we're doing this in honor of Triplett not
yeah,
being here?
Yeah, since Triplett's not here, we're actually going to do a full review of Amazing Spider-Man. This is for all of those times. This is for all of those times that he tried to say that Dan Ketch was a better Ghost Rider.
So nobody is ever going to agree with you about the Mexican chick being the best Ghost Rider.
I didn't say she was. I think Johnny Blaze is
still the best. That's what you were thinking.
No, it's not. She's not even Ghost Rider anymore. I still think Johnny is probably better. Still probably the best. Anyway.
I see.
She was second. Anyway. all right, so let's talk about where we have been with Amazing Spider-Man. We were forced to deal with the lizard because there was a movie. That's not what they said.
Are
you
forced
to deal with the lizard?
No, not really, but that's where it ended up. coincidence of some sort or lots of prior planning. Anyway, it's not that it's bad. It's good.
Proper planning and preparation.
Yeah. in this story, we knew that Morbius had been working in Horizon. And Morbius is trying to cure himself, and he thought, I need a really cool guinea pig. Why not Lizard? Is that how this started out? That's what I'm trying to remember now. Some reason Lizard ended up...
He thought that he could cure the lizard with his serum.
With his serum, and if it worked on Lizard, it might work on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And did Spider-Man go after Lizard? They went after him in the
serum. Yeah, they went after Lizard, and they caught him.
And
they put the cure to work, and it turned him back into Connors. Unfortunately, it turns out that Connors truly does appear to be gone, because although his body has been turned back into Kurt Connors, it's still the lizard's mind active inside it.
Yeah, and so the last few issues he's been like... Well, first of all, Spider-Man has been trying to beat the crap out of Morbius, because while Connors been pulling... You know, Connors pulled this little thing where he like put blood into the vents so it would put the scent of blood in the air, and Morbius's like instinct would kick in, and I mean
he's
been
Spidey busy essentially.
Yeah, essentially,
he tried to remake his formula to turn himself back into the lizard, but Morbius's cure is too good, and it is not working, and it's even so now all that the lizard serum is doing is causing him to actually regrow his missing arm,
which is kind of funny because that's and he even mentions that in one of the early issues because. The whole reason he did all of this was to regrow the arm. So now he's got the arm back, and what he really wants to be is the lizard. So screw the arm thing. Yeah.
Well, it's in order to maintain his cover amongst everyone else.
Well, that's why. Yeah, that's what happens early
his own
in this.
Arm off.
Yeah, early in this, he's like he needs to move around, but he has both arms. So he pulls out a torch, and like cuts off his arm. And then feeds it to Max Modell, who he's turned into a lizard. So this begins like so now we're into like this issue, and this begins a two-part bit where.
Can I just say this issue is just full of puns? It's very punny.
It's Spider-Man, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so there's an early bit in here where you know Spider-Man is fighting Morbius, and Madame Web shows up. And we had seen in the last issue that she foresaw something fairly awful. And here she tells Spider-Man that if he's got to get back to Horizon or else very, very bad, very bad, bad, awful, bad, terrible things are going to happen.
Can you tell us what?
No.
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 It doesn't work that way. No.
We just tell you it's going to be awful.
It's going to be so bad, dude. Like, serious? Like, more seriously serial?
Yeah. Meanwhile, back in the Shadowlands... What?
I remember... I forgot that existed.
Remember the Shadowlands where Fisk is? And remember the Hobgoblin and how cool he is? Where's he been?
Hobgoblin's
anyway,
kind of fun.
Yeah, this Hobgoblin I love. So, remember the Tiberius Stone guy who works at Horizon also happens to work for Fisk? Yeah. We've kind of mentioned that, and then that's kind of gone by the wayside for quite a while.
I think that went a little clunky, honestly, because I remember being very confused by that at the very start of it all.
Yeah, but it does seem to be...
They've only sort of half-filled in, like, he's an ex... First he was an ex-Horizon man. And then, and now, no, he still works at Horizon. He's just not one of the seven. But he also works for things. But it's, I think, it seems obvious to me that you remember my big confusion about this originally. I think Triplett shared this confusion with me as well, is that his name is Tiberius Stone. And I'm pretty sure Slot named him Tiberius Stone because he read in a handbook or some such place that Tiberius Stone was the ancestor of Tyler Stone, who was the antagonist from Spider-Man 2099.
Right.
But that handbook was establishing that a character called Tiberius Stone, who was an old rival of Tony Stark's, who appeared very briefly during Frank Thierry's run on the book in the early 2000s, was the ancestor. So I think Slott used the name, having read it in a handbook, not realizing that it referred to an existing Iron Man character. So now we have two guys with the ridiculously but awesomely improbable name of Tiberius Stone.
Yeah, because that's the stone that I'm familiar. I'm familiar with the stone from Iron Man, because that's when I was reading Iron Man back in the time. So yeah, of which this guy looks like
he's a little black haired nerd guy, and then the other guy was a suave blonde bearded industrialist who is dead,
shagged Tony's girlfriend and stuff,
from behind.
Oh,
he made her face away.
It's embedded in your memory because comics didn't do things like that back then.
Anyway. Yeah, that was like wow at the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tiberius is trying to get this information that Fisk wants, because otherwise he's going to get gutted like a fish. And his first idea is to basically reboot the security system so that he has access to everything. And then he has the bright idea to just search where he's at and finds what he wants. But doesn't remember to turn off the security reboot. This could be important later.
Remember this. There'll be a quiz later.
There will be a quiz later. So, meanwhile, Connors is wandering free through the labs, going to different technicians and getting them to help him. Of which, I love the irony here, where he's with the, I can't remember her name, the one girl.
Bella.
He's with Bella and develops another part of the serum, and he asks her, he's like, all right, where are your test animals? She's like, I don't really believe in animal testing. He's like, oh,
yeah,
cool. So he tested on her. And apparently this Call Me Maybe song is on here, which I don't listen to pop music, so I'm still not really familiar with what that tune is supposed to be. But anyway...
I'm not singing it because I don't want it stuck in my head.
Yeah, I know.
It's everywhere. You could find it if you want it.
It is.
So anyway, Madame Web basically explains that, look, dire means dead, okay? You're going to die if you don't do this thing. And meanwhile, Spider-Man is having a lot of fun beating the crap out of Morbius.
I love Morbius. I wish he wouldn't be getting hurt.
Well, and even Spider-Man is basically, you know, Morbius is still trying to do the, but it's not my fault. I don't mean to hurt the people. I just...
That's
I
what like Morbius
blood.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
I hunger for plasma.
Yeah. Of which, and we get revealed here that Silver Sable isn't dead. No. Well,
nobody would be surprised, but it's just like Spidey accuses Madame Web of saying whatever it takes to get him to do what she wants, and she pauses before she says no, she's not. She's totally telling the truth.
So it's hard to say. It's and that's what's so crap about Madame Web in that way. Not bad, but just
to be honest, I really don't like this Madame Web because it's a weird role for Julia Carpenter. Because when she's Madame Web, it's like it was annoying me because she has a kid and everything, and this is not what the character is normally like. But we've seen now at this point that she's not like this day to day, and she just puts this enigmatic shit on whenever she's talking to Spider-Man.
Right.
Like, this is. I know there are like 73 Spider-Women running around out there, and it's better that she has another role of her own, and it's also somehow involved in the Spider-Verse. I could see the thought process behind it, but I don't think it's been a step in the best direction for the character.
Yeah, it's certainly not working cohesively, I guess. It does seem a bit affected, I guess. Odd. Yeah, it doesn't... Anyway. I love this, though. Like, after this fight, though, after she gets done talking, and Morbius is like, well, fine, you fought me long enough, I have to kill people for their blood.
Blah. Plasma. I need their plasma.
Yeah. So after all the begging and pleading, he's like, no, no, it's your fault, Spider-Man. I'm going to have to drink people's blood. Meanwhile,
this would have happened if they just let him open the cabinet. Oh.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back on the ranch, we get this some of the first few indications. Well, and it happened earlier with Bella,
yeah,
where he was listening to the music and he was kind of getting into the beat. And he's like talking about this mammal brain and all this stuff. And then he's talking to
Grady.
And, Grady like gives him potato chips. He's like,
these are kids in Spicy Ranch Dorito brand corn chips.
Nonching on the chips and loving it, man. He's like, salt, trans fat. Yeah.
He's liking those chips.
The lizard is experiencing music and humor and food for the first time with a mammal brain. And he's understanding them in ways he's never understood them before. And he's eating for the first time out of desire to eat instead of requirement for sustenance. He's discovering all these human concepts he's never understood before.
And again, back with Spider-Man. He finally beats up Morbius and ties him up and then goes through the whole thing where he's like, all right, you know the drill. As the cops show up, you know, he's like, all right, you know the drill. 3 hours, get him back. He needs some blood, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, still, after all this time, like, Spider-Man has been a damn Avenger for years now, and still the cops are like, we're supposed to arrest you. He's like, I'm an Avenger!
They don't say what. They don't say they have to arrest him. They're just like, they're not taking... It's not that they're here to arrest him or anything. They're,
well,
just like, they're not taking orders from him, and he just goes, Spider-Man, licensed Avenger. When holds with the cop.
Yeah.
Like, suck it, bitch.
Make the call, as he says. But then, I thought one of the guys at one point did say that they were supposed to...
I thought so too.
Take him in.
Well, no, then he says on the next page that the chief's saying they should lock him up if they get the chance, but it's like, it's not like the cops themselves are actually pulling their guns on him or anything.
Yeah. So, and one of the cops even gives him his coat because his costume's all tore up. That was very nice.
Yeah.
Lizard tears his arm, well, cuts his arm off again.
I have a feeling that's going to be coming in the future because they make sure they display the NYPD on the back. So I'm thinking that might get to play probably next
issue. Something's going to happen sometime soon with Spidey and the cops, this new chief.
Yeah.
Because this is the chief replacing... this chief is replacing the one who was the Wraith, right?
Is that Watanabe?
Watanabe, yes.
Okay.
I mean, he is replacing her, right?
I think
so. She was a captain, yeah? So that's...
I don't even know how American police, and I'm an American.
Yeah.
So then comes time with Connors and Watsu, and this is where shit gets real.
Yeah.
Because we had mentioned, a while back, there had been that one issue, that one other story of Lizard with his son, and that in the more recent one, he ate his kid. And he remembers that now. And we knew that there would be a reckoning. There would probably be a time when he would have to, like, deal with that on some level. And here it is. He's seeing his kid in Watu here. So, he powers on nonetheless. And Watu shows him how to play a video game to relax his mind, which works. It works, and he figures out how to finish the cure. And so he... perfect. Leaves the room. Carly's walking down the hall, bitches him out for leaving him, for him leaving her because she's supposed to be keeping him in custody. And in typical Carly fashion, she's like, aren't you supposed to be missing the other arm?
I noticed that.
The thing is, I picked up on that when he was cutting off his arm for the second time. I'm like, wait, this isn't right.
He's the wrong arm.
I was thinking at first, I'm like, is this an animation error or not? Animation?
Like a draw, like an art error? No.
Yeah, I was like, someone screw up.
Yep. No. And it was great because his reaction was just, and about that time, the security lockdown procedures release. So all the little lizards that he's made,
because he's turned everyone that he's been working with into a lizard.
Into a lizard, get out.
Lots of other folks besides.
And they start to make their way into the atrium, which this guy that's sort of like the business manager for the company. Do what?
Modell's partner.
Yeah, Modell's partner.
Hector.
Yeah, Hector. Yeah. And so he executes a lockdown, which basically is going to trap everyone inside the building with hungry lizards.
Yeah.
And in like almost action movie style, you know, Peter like swings in and jumps through just as the lockdown procedure is going into place. So now you've got Peter versus like, I don't know, seven lizards and
a whole bunch.
And Carly's not in good shape. She's getting chased by a few. And so Connors now has it. He figured out the last bit, and he's got the cure he needs to turn back into a lizard. And then he has a dilemma. Does he want to do it?
Because he's enjoying all these.
Because now he's liked being a person. He's liked being a hairless ape. He likes this potato chip and pop music thing. It's kind of fun.
You young people with your potato chips and your pop music and your video games and your CDs and your pierced ears and your eyeball.
This is fantastic. Yeah,
So what do you think? Do you think he's going to stay or?
I don't know.
I'm just really impressed that they managed to wring new material out of the lizard. I mean, I guess I shouldn't really be surprised with Sly, because he always manages to find new places to take this stuff. But we've said it before. We've talked about this before. There's one lizard story.
Right.
And they finally found a new lizard story in Shed, the last part of the Gauntlet, a couple of years ago, when he ate his son alive. But the fact is, like, that story wasn't really a complete story. You know, we're really getting the second and presumably final part of that story now, because that story ended with Spidey got bit and the lizard escaped and went to live in the sewers.
Yeah, and even Peter mentioned that was like a dangling thing, you know, something that he had left undone at the beginning
of
the story.
Even though it was the new lizard story, they didn't actually... It was like, I'm not going to say they didn't know how to resolve it, but it was like, where do you quite go with that next? But the fact is that even the resolution here is a story unto itself again, because it's not just about the lizard taking over Connors and then Connors fighting his way free like your obligatory lizard story is. This is the inverse, you know. This is the lizard trapped in Connors instead of the other way around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a total flip, but it's more than just like it's not like where Bruce Banner rids himself of the Hulk and then realizes, oh no, I have conveniently wandered into a situation in which truly only the Hulk's strength would have allowed me to escape. Mm-hmm. How painfully ironic this is, and then the Hulk comes back. It's not one of those stories, you know. This is, I mean, I really don't know. I mean, it seems like he's, if he doesn't turn back into the lizard, it seems like it's a decision he's made awfully quickly off the back of an afternoon eating chips. But
Well, I mean, you think about, I don't know. I kind of see it as a combination of things, and in particular for his son as well. I mean, he thinks about, you know, that seems to be, that would hopefully be a little bit of a tipping point as well. But I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, it's certainly not where I expected that to. I mean, I guess I kind of expected it after the other stuff, like, you know, but I don't know that I expected the comic to do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I expected that moment, but not it to actually happen. So
you saw the ending coming after the scenes of him enjoying human life.
Chips. Spicy Doritos.
It's always the chips.
Yep. The spicy Doritos will do it.
Doritos.
Yeah. Maybe Lay's was right. You can't just eat one.
Right.
Person.
Nah. I still think my favorite part was, or one of my favorite parts was the early part where he just throws his extra arm to Modell like a bone.
And I was like, here, here's a snack.
You want this?
Go fetch.
I actually want that cool little gadget he has that could just carve through muscle and bone and solder it, you know, cartilize it. That'd be kind of a cool little tool to have.
Okay, you're never coming near me. Just, no. That's terrifying. I'd like to have a device to, like, cut people's limbs off. That'd be awesome.
What? Yep, I would. Come on, that'd be awesome.
I bet that guy in, like, 128 days or whatever wished he would have had one of those.
You mean 127 hours?
Whatever it was, yeah. I don't care. I don't know. I didn't do it. So, yeah. I'm interested to see this. We're very quickly moving towards 700, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think next
I just noticed that. Like, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Do you know if they're going to be doing anything big for the
season? No. No, they're just going to be another issue.
Just be an ordinary issue.
Yeah, they have, but I'm not sure what. I mean, they've...
I mean, even before 700, though, we have to have the actual 50th anniversary issue next month.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too.
They get the super-sized 50th anniversary one. I think the next issue is the final part of this, and then the issue after that is the anniversary issue.
Cool.
Which is like mega size. It's like $5 or $6 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it's big. And I believe that introduces this the start of this alpha plot line of this sidekick character.
Oh yeah.
And he's probably gonna die in issue 700.
And then he'll die in 700, yeah. That would be
No, nobody dies. Remember, that's what Spidey's all about.
Sure. Tell that to Silver Sable.
Tell that to Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
He hadn't made that decision yet.
Yeah, we'll tell that to Silver Sable.
Yeah, well, not according to Madame Web.
Yeah, if you believe her.
Spidey's filled with guilt for that, though.
A little bit mad.
Also, it's a Silver Sable.
I will say, so there you go. Check that out. It's good stuff. I will say I picked up this week, which came out, which was the Daredevil paper trade.
Oh, yeah.
So, because I missed some of that stuff, so I'm going to get to check it out now. Yeah.
My book, you guys, for making me read Daredevil.
This is the book that I keep trying to quit and can't.
Well, it's too good. You know what? It doesn't let you quit it.
No, it's
like...
You're
saying this is your Brokeback Mountain book? You can't quit it?
I can't quit it, yes. I want to be a gay cowboy.
You can't quit Daredevil.
With Daredevil. No, it's more like I cancel it, and then I feel guilty, and then I pick up something else, and then... You know, and then so, like, I cancel it again, and then the trade comes out, and I'm like, well, I ought to read that, because I heard it was good, and I didn't pick up all the bits.
I know what you mean. It's like, it's Daredevil, you know? It took me a while to reconcile the fact that I was buying and enjoying Daredevil, but it is too good. You know, it is one of Marvel's single best, most consistent ongoing series.
Yeah.
I mean, Journey into Mystery actually is the number one most consistent. Like, you know, there may be a month that come out where several other books may have an issue that'll be better than that month's issue of Journey. But Journey's level of consistency is unparalleled in all seriousness.
Yeah.
It is the single, like most consistently good ongoing thing Marvel puts out. And it's ending!
That and Dark Tower.
Yeah, throw in Dark Tower there. Well, cool. Do we have anything good next week?
What's next week? First week of the month, Action Comics.
Yay!
The next day being next week's mail. Ultimate Spider-Man, 6 weeks. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Cool.
Dope Transformers Regeneration 1, that's not too.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Does Spider-Man come out next week?
No, Spider-Man is actually like not till like the midpoint or towards the end of the month. I don't know what it is. There's a big gap.
That's weird because they were putting it out like every other week, and then it's.
Well, the first two issues just shipped in the same month. It was bi-weekly for the first month, and then there was one issue in the month of July, and there's gonna be one issue in the month of August. Mm-hmm. It's the same for Infernal Man thing. You remember, guys? I was talking about Infernal Man thing a couple of weeks ago. First issue came out, the first week of this month. And the second issue came out last week, you know, two issues in the first month again. But then the third issue isn't out until the last week and next month. So it's still technically, like, only in the next month, but it is literally as far away from the second issue of the series as it could possibly be.
That's weird.
Wow.
But I also got, like, 3 trade paperbacks out next week, so I'm going to get, like, $60 worth of trades. It's bad. Actually, hang on.
Now, are you pre-ordering these from your shop, or are you pre-ordering?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm pre-ordering from the Wiz shop.
Cool.
So I do work there, you know, supporting it in all the ways I can. 35, 25, 24, 60, fucking $90 of trades this week.
Damn.
Yeah, they're big trades. Classic thing. Trial of Yellow Jacket and the final volume of Marvel's G.I. Joe.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. Ruptured.
Yeah, that's ouchy. So.
Right before Auto Assembly.
Where do you put all these? I mean, you got the single issues. And you
I told
your
you I'm having a clear out.
Yeah, really. It's silent. Yeah.
So if you guys want
that, I haven't put away yet.
Good lord!
So if you guys want comics,
it,
you go
there.
To
it
McPhee.
Is. There it is.
And you're gonna go get more even.
Yeah, and then there's wait.
Where do you sleep?
I know. Wait, I see a bed there somewhere.
I haven't read yet.
Oh my gosh! Not
read yet.
Wow.
Wait.
I see some carpet. I do see some floor.
There is floor in there.
Yes, I'm on the floor. There is some floor under this all somewhere.
Wow. So here you go. A little bit of tour of Chris's place and all the stuff he's got.
Yeah.
So, wow. Well, it's all right then.
There's the stack of comics that haven't been sorted yet.
Lord,
for being put away.
So if people want to buy comics, they could come to you one way or another.
I might put some of it up on eBay. I don't know what I'm going to do with it all yet.
Wow. Huh. Cool. That's a lot, man. I don't see. That's what I'm. It's like I don't even have enough time to read all that. I just can't. That's why I'm more. That's more so why I had to cut back on books. Is like, man, I got all these books.
Never mind the actual novels I'm trying to read as well.
God. Yeah. I'm just not that much of a reader. I like reading. I'm just not that
much. I love reading.
Reader.
I just wish I had more time to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, cool. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Well, I started reading a book today that I... the book that I started reading today, Jack Kirby's Fourth World Omnibus, Volume 2, only had it for a couple of months.
Sports World? Wait. You don't like sports.
Fourth World.
Oh, Sorcerer.
But that's volume 2, and I had to get volume 2 in paperback because it was out of print in hardback. And now that I have it, it means I can finally read volumes 3 and 4, which I've had for over a year.
Oh, wow. So, wow.
All right.
I get through these.
Do you have enough lifetime to do all that, plus the stuff you're adding to it?
Yeah, $90 of stuff this
Are
week.
Are you a speed reader?
I don't know. No, I'm not.
You need to, like, take... vacation. Well, y'all get like
I do, you know.
You get like 10 weeks of vacation over there, right? That's like
that's if you're in school.
Ah. How much vacation do you get?
I don't know, whatever it is, whatever the ordinary vacation is for the sort
Ours
of
is only
for,
2
for
weeks.
Nine to five.
Yeah, like yeah. I'm like 2 weeks.
Ours is 10 days, not even 2 weeks. It's 10 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, thereabouts.
I don't know. I can't remember who it was, but someone on Twitter was saying that they were like reading up, they're from Australia, and they were reading up on like how much vacation Americans get compared to other countries.
If you want good vacation, you go to Italy. All the Italians take the month of August off, pretty much.
God. Yeah.
Australia. You can't vacation in Australia. If you go out somewhere tropical, you have to avoid everything that's trying to kill you. It's
I went
more...
on a vacation for a month in Australia. It was awesome.
You're still alive?
Wow, survived. You know, that's where Chris's people sent people that were like criminals and stuff. Like that was a punishment to go there.
The thing is, you're fine during the day. It's at night when all the creatures come out. You gotta watch out for the salties. You gotta watch out for the flying foxes buzzed us. We're like, what the hell?
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I've got
fun,
a
though. I recommend it.
A friend of mine, her boyfriend's from there, and so she's gonna go out and visit, so I expect to hear many a story about Australia.
No, my parents have been there a couple of times, but they've never stayed long and have always been far away from as many animals as possible.
Yeah, I think she's going to be like in the city and stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, all right.
Yeah, we got off topic there at the end.
No, we it all relates back because of No, I don't know. Anyway, I lost it. Anyway, there's a lot of you have a lot of stuff to read, so good luck with that.
Yeah.
I do not. I'm watching a lot of stuff. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, man, I have a bunch of stuff to watch, but it's like I went and got myself too much stuff to watch. And now it's like I can't settle to watch any of it, if you know what I mean. I can't settle on any one thing. And so what I'm doing instead is rewatching old stuff. I'm all messed up. But I'm watching Batman the Animated Series, so that's better than most things.
That is good. That is good.
Because I thought I had lost my DVDs, and I've been looking for them for months, and I finally found them. And it's like, fuck yeah, Batman! Yeah, that's right, Batman.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally Batman right there. I mean, for us, that is going to be Batman.
Yeah. I'm watching that. I'm getting primed for, because Amazon finally shipped my complete Justice League DVD, so I'm waiting on that to arrive.
Awesome.
Speaking of shipped as well, I should. I don't think it's available on Maddie Collector anymore, and I know that we don't like to say good things about Maddie Collector if we can help it, but they did put up their San Diego Comic-Con exclusives this week. I'm just looking to see if it's there now.
Hasbro put up their edition for San Diego Comic-Con Derpy, and sold out in less than an hour.
Unsurprising. It's not gone, but it's almost gone. If you want it, the Tiny Titans figurine set is
$20. Oh, wow.
Yes, it's been purchased and is on its way to me.
Nice.
They come in this...
Where did you buy it at? Amazon?
Maddie Collector.
Maddie Collector put it up. It was a San Diego, so they put it up. Sweet. It's almost gone, so snap it up now if you want it. Could they come in this little school box packaging with all these little drawings?
I might have to go check that out.
Like the box is shipped like a school bus, and they're in little seats in a row and looking out through windows in the school bus box, and it's full of all the little Tiny Titans drawings and jokes and things. I'm brilliant.
Awesome. All right.
I'm trying not to collect things other than Transformers because I have too much crap, but I need these in my life.
I know. I'm doing that now that I've got into all like the Sentai and Kamen Rider and stuff. I'm like... trying not to, and yet I still am, because I like bought a...
I got one Kamen Rider, and I should say one and a half. I got the Ankh hand.
Oh, okay, so... you got the Ankh hand, yeah. No, I've got I've been watching enough Jetman that I had to pre-order Black Condor, so I'm gonna have that.
Even I have a Power Ranger robot or two.
So I figured you'd do it. I mean, it's like, how could you not? Some of that stuff's awesome.
I don't think I'll ever buy any more, but I have the Time Force Megazord and the Mystic Force Megazord.
Dude, you will want the Gokaiger thing, the whatever they end up calling it.
Nah.
Dude, it's pirates. It's got a hat.
No, because pirates aren't played out.
It's got a pirate hat.
Pirates are awesome.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pirate hat.
This one has a witch's hat.
They want you for your booty.
It turns into a dragon.
Well, that is cool, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have gone completely off of comics, which means it's time to go.
Yeah. Short show, but you could tell.
So, yeah. I mean, we still have, like, plenty of time. I think we still have, like, 15 minutes or so we can fill. So we're not going to do that. We're just going to get out of here and save you all the pain and suffering. This has been episode 111, though, I will say. And for some reason, my grandmother always referred to that as the shit house. I don't know why. Apparently, you could put a roof over it, and it's a door in the shit house. I don't know. Try that out yourself. Write it. 111. Roof. There you go. Anyway, so that's our show. Be sure to check us out on the website, fanboyversus.com. You can also check us out on Twitter, at fanboyvs. And coming soon, maybe an app.
Ooh.
Maybe an app. Maybe.
Who's developing it?
Kilby Industries.
Ah, gotcha.
Top man.
Top men.
All right, top guys on it.
The developers over at Kilby Industries are working very hard to potentially bring us an app. So
nice.
Yeah, so that could be fun. So check that. Keep watching for that. There'll be tweets, and we'll talk about it on the show as well. But in the meantime, thank you for tuning in, and please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus.
This has been Fanboy Versus. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.